Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
We are brushing up against the top five, but this week we're all about song number six on the countdown. In the Mouth of Desert. James, from London, what are your initial thoughts about this slanted standout?
What a song. Honestly, what a song. When you first mentioned coming onto this podcast, I was a little concerned that, you know, I'd get a song that I wasn't too keen on and you'd have to sort of try and talk about it. But oh my God, this is an absolute mega song. You know, this is right up there in the canon.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a 5'3" pole vaulter from Toad Suck, Arkansas. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Rohit from Mumbai. Rohit, how the fuck are you doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. Nothing to complain about. Life's been good. Life's been swell.
So just a bit of background, Rohit and I met at in Portugal, and we saw the Primavera concert, the Pavement reunion concert there. But then the next day, or 2 days later, we went to the castled city, which I forget the name of right now.
Sintra.
That's right. We went and toured around that place, climbed up all sorts of hills, and holy shit, remember that? Those cars that we were driving in felt like we were going to fall out.
Yep. That was a fun day. Still imprinted in my head.
Well, let's get right into it. Rohit, talk to me about your Pavement origin story. How did you come into Pavement?
Sure. So I think that memory is kind of etched in my mind because it's such a pivotal moment now that I look back. I believe it was in my dorm room, or as we call it here, my hostel room.
Okay.
I just made a new friend, someone who had just joined university, and we kind of hit it off over music. And I guess this was one of those things where you're like, okay, I think this guy, I can kind of call into my room now to like kind of nerd out and stuff. I think he's passed the test. He knows his stuff. Maybe I can invite him over and maybe we can listen to some music and see what other weird stuff he's into. I gave him control of the aux and he kind of was cycling through his playlist. But there was this one song that really caught my eye, caught my ear. Which was Stereo. And that also tells you that I'm a recent Pavement fan, right? Because that kind of like gives away the fact that I wasn't actually around when the band was around. Stereo.
Me neither.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your origin story is also kind of like post breakup, right?
Yeah.
So Stereo was like the... I mean, when I heard it for the first time and just like the first 10, 20, 30 seconds of it, it felt like, you know, I'd found my band.
Finally
found my band. Yeah. Because it's interesting because all the bands I'd been listening to in the preceding years, kind of, it was all building up to this moment because, you know, I started with, I mean, the same classic rite of passage rock music, which would be, you know, Hendrix, Zeppelin, then kind of graduated to, you know, all it takes is one serendipitous moment where you kind of download, you just read about some band, you listen to one song by them, and it sets it kind of changes the course of your music consumption for the rest of your life. So, like, I think I had that moment with, like, the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay.
Which is because these bands are, you generally find them at loggerheads, but I was a huge Pumpkins fan. Yeah. That sort of set me off on, like, a journey of finding weirder and weirder music. So I kind of got into the punk, and my style is different, right? Like, I'm more of, like, pick a band, go deep, get obsessed, read every single trace that's on the internet about them, listen to every single B-side, and then move on to the next band. So I kind of did that. That's my style. And I kind of did that with the Pumpkins. Graduated is the wrong word, actually, but just kind of discovered Pixies. I love the Pixies.
Oh, yeah.
Also, R.E.M. And I've been listening to a lot of your prior episodes, and for a lot of people, that gateway band to Pavement's been R.E.M.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, I just talked to somebody the other day who I haven't posted the episode yet. Same thing. Two people. Yeah. R.E.M. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Pixies, the same drill, you know, going deep, listening to everything, becoming obsessed. I had that with the Strokes. And I think going into college until I met this dude, I was still in my Pixies phase. Like, I was still in the whole Pixies phase. But I guess this was the next natural progression, right? Like, the thing that was kind of missing to me was, you know, I guess this is my first exposure to a band that seemed to not be taking itself seriously.
It's, right? Yeah.
Like, you can kind of say that about the Pixies to some degree, but I mean, Black Francis is still a pretty serious guy. You know, he's like a devoted songwriter. Like, he practices the craft, you can see. But, like, the thing with Pavement is, like, these guys were, like, so effortlessly brilliant. And, of course, there's a lot of effort that goes into that facade. But I think my impression of them was that, wow, these guys are, I don't even look like they're trying too hard, and yet they're able to churn out such beautiful, brilliant music. And another thing that kind of appealed to me about them, and you could say the same for all the other bands I'm listening to, but, like, especially this band, is that, like, it kind of tugs at emotions that are more complex than just the sad, angry, rage, lust, hate, you know, that comes with the music you listen to when you're growing up or when you're young. Like, the conventional pop rock songs kind of tug at the same emotions. And, like, when you're going through, when you hit your, like, early 20s and stuff, you probably need a soundtrack that is more complementary to the complex range of emotions you feel on a day-to-day basis, right? Like, and I think this was like a friend I was glad to, like, take on board on that ride, basically. So that was my origin story. Started with Stereo, soon went into the rest of the album, Brighten the Corners. Yeah. So it went to Gold Sounds. I think Shady Lane, you know the hits. Like, yeah. I feel like anybody who's kind of getting introduced to this band at this age or in this time, this era, more often than not, you'd find these to be their gateway tracks. Yeah. So for me, the thing is, I think that's another thing we share, right? Like, I really love Terror Twilight. I was oblivious to the reviews, the bad press, you know, the critique and stuff. I was just, like, as objectively just looking at it as a document of, like, you know, 10, 12 songs, whatever, how many other songs there are. So it's a beautiful record. So the last two records were my gateway in a way. And they stuck with me for a while. And it was just those two records on repeat. And then I kind of started delving deeper into the pop, because you kind of had to fight with that stuff a bit, at least when you're a new fan.
Yeah.
Especially Slanted. But yeah, that's my story. That's how I got in, and I've been up.
Yeah, it's very Slant is very different from Brighten the Corners, right?
Yeah.
So how did you find that, like getting into Slanted and then discovering Crooked Rain? How was that experience?
I think the sequence for me was like Crooked Rain first, right? Yeah. Post Terror Twilight. I think I got into Crooked Rain pretty deeply, and then kind of moved to Wowie Zowie. And then I think I left Slanted for the last. right? Because that's when I'm like, okay, I guess I'm fan enough to now go, you know, get into Slanted, Perfect Sound Forever, all the EPs, all of it.
Yeah.
Crooked Rain was just beautiful. Again, I don't know what to tell you. Let me just pull up the track list.
Yeah.
So some songs that, of course, Gold Sounds was definitely like something I'd heard in the early days itself. Brilliant. And the and the thing is, for me with Pavement, right, it's not just that I'm also a musician. Like, I've been playing the guitar for the past who knows how long, maybe like 15 years now. It's been 15 years, right? So even for me as a guitarist, it's kind of refreshing to look to, like, kind of, and you only realize it when you try to pick up a song, right? Like, because it kind of seems like deceptively basic, like the at least like some of the songs I got introduced to. But when you try to get into how he's written these songs, it's all different tunings. It's all like dadgad. It's all open A stuff. And that's when you realize, oh shit, this band is also a guitar band.
Yeah.
Right. So, Silence Kid, right? That's the first Silence Kid, of course, like iconic intro. The thing with the song is and this is the thing with Pavement, actually. You keep, after listening to a song, you keep asking yourself how a band that is so dissonant, where the vocals are so kind of at every second's about to go off rails, can still be so like touching and captivating and entertaining, right? Like, that's really like, it's like definitely something new. It was super new for me then when I kind of experienced this.
That's what I felt too. It just felt like another world had been opened up, you know?
Right.
Because I think you really nailed it when you said the effortlessness takes a lot of effort to keep up that facade. Yeah. That's a great quote.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's your gate. If you find Pavement at the right time in your life and you're still young and impressionable, it can be your gateway to a lot of great poetry also, for some reason. Like, you get into the whole, if you stick around for long enough, you'll discover the Silver Juice.
Yeah.
And you get into the old Berman rabbit hole and you kind of like read his poetry and you're like, wow, okay, these guys are also secret poets. Like, quit being humble, guys. Like,
yeah.
You guys are, they are gifted.
They are humble, though.
Yeah. Just, and another thing I think that appealed to me about this band was they're such good dudes. They're such nice people. And that's something that kind of resonated with me. It's not always that I go and look at a band, because I'm a huge Replacements fan also. And Paul Westerberg is known to be quite the troublemaker. Really? Yeah. But like the one thing that struck me about this band was like how wholesome they were. Like, how often would you read about a band that kind of like that has been stalling studio sessions not to do drugs or get to play Scrabble? Like, I mean, and those stories are just like heartwarming, weirdly.
Yeah. So what's your go-to record at this point? Do you have one?
Oh, at this point, what I'm doing is I'm just like shuffling through the log. But I do go back very often to Brighton, because that for me is like quintessential Pavement. It's basically Pavement's best parts distilled into one album. Like, you know, minus all the jagged noise and stuff, like, which is important for someone new to, for them to try to get into the band. So like, Brighton is like all-time favorite. Like, I don't think any other album's going to dethrone Brighton for me, just because it was my gateway. And I think it came out at a time, it was kind of before its time, in the sense that rest of music had kind of moved on to other stuff. I don't want to say better stuff, but other stuff. But this album was still like, had it come out like, say, 2, 3, 4 years ago, it would probably been more ubiquitous. But that's
I
cool.
I think so. If this had followed Crooked Rain, I think we'd be on a different trajectory with Pavement.
Yeah.
You know, and then do Wowie Zowie for your fourth record once you're like really established. But hey, that's nitpicking. I'm glad they did what they did. So let's talk about your live experience. You saw them in Porto. Had you seen them before that? I forget.
No. So yeah, interesting story there, right? So I had given up on like the idea of ever seeing them live because I discovered them in 2016.
Right.
The last time that played was in 2010.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it would have been foolish to hope that anything was going to happen anytime soon. But I was definitely a fan. So I was kept listening and kept following stuff, kept, you know, checking on the Reddit stuff, reading literature about them online, like just as a normal nerd would. And one day randomly, I think I saw a post on Twitter or Consequence of Sound, one of these two websites, announcing that Pavement's going to reunite again.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, you can imagine, right? Like you're on the thick of your fandom, like the peak of your obsession with a band, and they've not been around for like close to a decade, and suddenly they reunite. So I think right then I went and booked the ticket, so maybe the next day. Thinking about the planning and stuff, I was leaving it for another time, but I had to like secure the tickets. So I got the tickets secured, and then COVID hit and shat all over my plans. And it was still uncertain, right? So like, I think that what happened was they wanted, as any festival would, right? They'd want you to hold on to your tickets. So the lineup kept snowballing over the years, like so that you don't like give your ticket away or claim a refund. So I think when we skipped it for 1 year, then the next year, and then finally somehow we got to see them in 22, right? It was 22.
That's right.
So it was a long time coming. It was a long time coming, and it was kind of a very happy ending, as you would know. So the beauty about that festival was so this lineup had snowballed to some different god level lineup. So you had like Tame Impala, you had Interpol, you had Beck, you had the Gorillaz,
Dinosaur,
you had Nick Cave, of course Dinosaur, you had Dinosaur, you had Slow Dive, you had Black Midi. It was just like crazy. So the show was extremely emotional. I don't want to say I wept or anything, but I did shed a tear or two because it was like, I mean, I would do that with any band that I love that I get to see live. Like, I mean, there's only a handful of bands that do that for me. And this was one of them, right? So like, I think they started with Grounded, which is perfect. Cause for me, I was like, dude, will they even play Grounded? And they just started Grounded. It's beautiful. And I still remember he started in typical Malcolm's dad fashion. I think he said, "What the fuck is sup?" or something to that effect. And I was like, "Wow, this like I'm getting the full experience."
Oh yeah, he just drips cool.
Yeah, he just drips cool. And it was captivating. The whole long set, really tight. Probably the second gig post reunion, right? Like the Barcelona thing was just a week ago.
Right.
So we caught them at a time where they're still not pissed at each other, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like that with each other. It was really, I mean, of course, that was amazing. And then the next day, as you would, as I've told you before, like I got to meet Malcolmus in the crowd. I went to catch Dinosaur Jr., which is another weird story because I think this is one of the rare occasions where you'd see Dinosaur Jr. play instruments that do not belong to them. Like J Masters.
Well, that's right, because they got stolen, right?
They got stolen. I think they were stuck on an airport or something in transit.
Oh, okay.
So, J Masters was playing like this very unlike him. I think it was an Epiphone or something. And Lou was playing again a rant, like very out of place looking at a bass. And I turned to my left and I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, I think I crapped my pants a little. Then I turned to my left and I was like, should I do it? Should I be that annoying fan who goes and lingers around and then waits and keeps glancing to see if, you know, he's You know, and I said to myself, you know what, just go do it. Because, you know, it's probably it's like God's sign or someone's sign of, making this a happy ending for you or something. So just go do it. So I kind of like slunk away from my friends. They didn't know. I just caught a glance and I quickly slunk out. You know, you can't upset the prey in a way. Like you can't.
That's right.
But so I kind of like was waiting quietly, patiently. Even at that point, I was fine if it didn't happen. At least I got to see the back of his head. So I quickly took a bunch of pictures. And he was standing with like Kim Gordon. I'm a huge fan. Again, huge Sonic Youth fan. So that was amazing to see the duo there. And they were just like covertly, just nonchalant, just chilling, enjoying the show, enjoying the band they grew up listening to. I mean, Dinosaur Jr. has been a huge influence for even Pavement. I finally built up the courage to go and like tap him on the shoulder and quickly got a word in. Told him how I'm his biggest fan. You know, he's probably heard that 50 times the same day before, but I said it anyway. Mm-hmm. Took a quick photo with Kim Gordon and slunk out. I didn't want to overstay my welcome, so I just like slunk out from there. But that was really magical. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better ending to that year.
Icing on the cake, they say, right?
Exactly. And hanging out with you folks was also another massive highlight of that trip because we've been
that
friends.
That was cool, yeah. Yeah.
That's been good, yeah.
So what do you say we talk? We're into the top five, Rohit.
Damn.
We're into the top five. We're going to do number five today. Should we give that song a spin?
Let's spin it.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
Five.
Fingers like they're just another meal, but she-
This week on the show, we've cracked the top five with the first track off Slanted and Enchanted, the absolutely electric Summer Babe. Rohit, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
This is definitely one of those songs that I kind of dismissed as too noisy or maybe even too basic, if I'm being honest. But then, yeah, it grew on me. Now I love it because it's one of the same things, right? Like you kind of don't even... And I think there's another dimension to appreciating the band if you're a guitarist, because the stuff he does with his guitar, it's kind of not, you can't just, it's not obvious. It's non-obvious stuff. Like, so again, I got into like trying to pick this song up. It quickly dawned upon me that, okay, this song is again, one of those obvious sounding, but not so obvious compositionally kind of songs.
It's deceptive, right?
Deceptive, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have this thing, you know, so like as a musician, since I don't jam a lot with fellow musicians, I'm left my own devices most of the time. I try to pack in as many parts, like individual parts, into like just my playing. So for example, I'll try to pack in the rhythm and the lead into just me playing, because I have no one to trade licks with. So like Summer Babe, one such song where, like, if I could just play it for you, right? Like,
oh, that's cool. He's got his guitar, folks.
One sec, yeah. So,
I love it.
Whenever I'm bored, I kind of pick up my guitar, and my go-to, you know, testing song, like, you know, the first song you play is Summer Babe. Because I can test my rhythm out, I can test my finger picking out, I can test my lead stuff out. So it's definitely one of those songs that took a while for me to appreciate the beauty of. But now that I think of it, right, even beyond guitars, lyrically, I think he's inspired and entire generation to like use words like minerals in their songs. Like, who uses the word minerals?
Yeah, right.
Who uses the word protein in their songs? Like, it's
not many people.
So, and I'm so glad there's songs out there that have these words, you know, because sometimes you run out of words and it can't be the same cliched stuff. So, and it's very pop. It's three simple chords. And I think it's three simple chords throughout the song. Right? It's just D, A, and G throughout.
Really?
And it's still so riveting, yeah.
Huh. So,
yeah.
Even for the chorus parts?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's just him going ape shit on the leads. It's lovely. It's lovely. And the thing with Slanted is, right, if I was, and that's the beauty of Malcolm is, you know how much, like, I mean, I can tell how much thought has been, how much work has been put into these songs, right? It's not like you write these songs. I don't know what people infer, but these are not songs that you can rustle up in a day.
No.
You know, there's a lot of thought been put into these songs, and he could have very easily been gone a bit easy on the fuzz and the noise and, like, you know, hiding it beneath layers of stuff and just laying it out there and having all the instruments, like, kind of shine in their full glory, but he still chose to mess around with it, obfuscate it, like, kind of like, there's some really good licks that are just like hidden beneath layers of noise. So like, that kind of makes me respect him even more, right? Because he could have packaged it in a way that was not so hard on the ear. But he chose to keep it, like, stay true to his ideals or principles or whatever drove him to kind of uphold that lo-fi aesthetic and, like, put it out there. So that's pretty cool.
It's just, it's so fascinating for me to rewind, like, to 1992 in my head and just think about all the music I was listening to and how fucking different Summer Babe is from everything else that was out at that time. It's so different.
Because I of course, I was not alive then, but, like, for me, it was more of like a, it's like, maybe he was a bit, it was a dig at all these grunge guys taking themselves too seriously or something. Like, I kind of get that. You know what? I'm not going to take myself seriously, and I don't need to be a big pop star. Fuck that. I think that was the attitude. And I think they kind of stuck with it throughout, right? Like, they've been pretty stubbornly indie throughout their entire career, right? Like, and even in their heyday, right? Even when you see them perform at, like, the Tibetan independence thing, and they're sharing the bill with massive bands, right? Pumpkins, you'd still see them, you know, feature on, like, random alt compilations, like, have open for random bands or play these very long tail niche venues. So, like, indie was definitely in their blood.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the few bands where they were not itching to go major.
Right.
They were happy being indie throughout, and they were kind of like proud torchbearers of that, and they just, like, take and have people, and I don't know, just very grounded throughout, which is something I love about them.
One of the only bands I can think from that era that didn't sign a major label deal. Yeah. Like, even Dinosaur signed a major label deal.
Yep. Yeah, and I find it hard to believe that they weren't approached by any labels. Like,
I think they were. I think they were, but they SM really appreciated Matador and what they were proposing to do. I think at the time he said he went with them because they had a fax machine. Sounds very SM. So what do you think? Is Summer Babe, it's in the top five, it's number five. Is it properly rated? Is it overrated to you? Is it underrated? Now, I realize we're recording this in April, and this is going to play in November, and you don't know the rest of the song, so it makes it very difficult for you to, you know, make this assertion, but I'm just wondering if you have any opinions on that.
I mean, given the context, if you take the context out of the picture, you kind of, like, lay all the tracks down, and kind of ask someone to pick the top five, this probably might not figure on that list. But if you kind of look at it with context, which is, like, you know, back in 92, given all the other music that was playing, was around, you go to a record store, you buy, you pick up this record, you put it on. And I think, isn't it like the second track or something? What is it?
It's first track. Summer Babe.
It's the first track, right? Like, yeah. And it's the first, this is you what hear. You get to hear. Is this what you get to hear then in that time?
Yeah.
I would not be shocked if it was on a top five list, but personally, given my origin story, it's kind of up there, but maybe not top five, but I still love the song. Great song.
Yeah. Well, Rohit, it's been wonderful talking to you today and reconnecting. I don't know if you want to play us out. Do you want to play us out?
Sure.
All right. Do you have any plugs? Before we, is there anywhere you can get your stuff? Like, are you on Bandcamp or anything like that?
I'm actually putting out music for the very first time.
Awesome.
It's still in the works. It's kind of done. It's now getting post-produced and mixed and mastered. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I don't know where I'm going to put it. but I'll drop you a text when it's out and you can tell your friends.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know what? I think I'm calling the project Grand Electric. So, like,
oh, I love it.
This, go ahead and Google Grand Electric, and maybe you might have to scroll through a bunch of pages because I might not be on top. But yeah,
by November you will be. By November you will be.
Fingers crossed.
And one last question for you: are you going to submit a song for the pod list this year?
Sure. Yeah, I do have some up my sleeve. Sure.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. All right. So this is Rohit from Mumbai playing us out. Don't forget, everybody, wash your goddamn hands. Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks, as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email. jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com. Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.